Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance. PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for all your home, auto, and commercial business needs. Visit them at pc-insurance.net.
Bye week for the Packers is over. That means it's no longer the bye week for Ryan Wood. He joins us Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. He still did during the bye week because he just loves filling you in about the Green Bay Packers. Ryan, appreciate it, man. Monday after the bye week, a lot of great football yesterday, a lot of great red zone opportunities yesterday, and just, again, a team just sneaking one out. Minnesota Vikings did something yesterday that 99 teams have tried to do. Now one team has come back down 20-0 at home at halftime.
Yeah, this conference is nuts, isn't it? I mean, usually when you start off 8-2 as the Packers have, you're afforded some type of semblance of breathing room, and they just don't have it. I mean, there's five teams in this conference with at least 8 wins. They got no help yesterday. Obviously the Vikings, as you mentioned, but also the 49ers fell behind 16-0 to the Cardinals and were able to come back and win. It's just remarkable where the Packers sit in terms of if they win this week, they leapfrog San Francisco, who has been the front runner in the conference for most of this season, the last undefeated team, and they leapfrog them in the standings. If they lose, they could be second in their own division. And so, I mean, really, they're looking big picture. They're looking at the possibility of, I mean, home field throughout the playoffs is definitely on the table. And so is a wild card game on the road to either Philly or Dallas as a 5 seed. So these last 6 games are awfully huge, and they don't really get any bigger than this week.
Okay, so I realize that technically the standings look a little scrunched up and all of that fun stuff, but realistically, they're playing for the 1 seed in this conference coming up Sunday night against the San Francisco 49ers. I realize the Vikings are right behind them, even though they almost blew it yesterday. But that's really what this comes down to. They beat the San Francisco 49ers, and the 49ers, we went over it earlier, have a tough schedule the rest of the way out. I could see them losing 2, 3, 4 games the rest of the way out. But this is a big game from that aspect, because if the Niners continue to play well like the Packers have been, it could come down to a head-to-head and a tiebreaker if these two teams tie.
Absolutely could. It's a brutal schedule for the Niners coming down the stretch, as you said, but if the Packers were to lose, if San Francisco's 9-1, Packers are 8-2, if the Packers were to lose this week, they're down 2 games in the standings, and they don't have the tiebreaker head-to-head, which is effectively another game. So basically, they would be down effectively 3 games in the standings with 5 to play. So you're right. They are playing for home field or any semblance of home field. They can't win home field advantage this Sunday, but they could lose it. And that's the stakes on Sunday Night Football.
Well, right. I mean, the winner, though, will have maybe a leg up, though, on home, or the number one seed, I would think so, correct?
Yeah. Let's put it this way. If they were to win this week, the Packers, then they would be 9-2. San Francisco would be 9-2.
And they'd be number one
seed. The
Packers,
by virtue of the head-to-head tiebreaker, right, would actually have basically a 1-game lead. So, absolutely.
I was watching the Arizona-San Francisco game, and I thought for sure that this would be the game that Arizona lose, because I think if you saw them against Seattle, they got a lot of guys hurt in that game. It was a very physical game. And then a lot of people thought that maybe Garoppolo didn't play as well as he should have in the game against Seattle. But I saw something different out of Garoppolo against Arizona.
Yeah, I wish I would have been able to see that game.
That's okay.
I was stuck with Philly, New England, which,
yes,
I just didn't care that much about. I would have much rather seen San Francisco. But, it was kind of the classic trap game. It was set up to be the classic trap game for San Francisco, in that they were coming off that rivalry loss at home in prime time on Monday Night Football to the Seahawks. And then they've got, everyone knows how big this week is for both teams this week. And then you've got that pesky Cardinals team with a quarterback who's unconventional, that can present you some problems in Kyler Murray that you don't see very often. It kind of presented the trap game. I thought it was pretty impressive with how they fought back 16-0 down. Not a surprise that they fell down early, but the fact that they were able to come back as quickly as they did, and as you said, Jimmy Garoppolo in the clutch was able to deliver. It was a good win for them, a better win than you would think, being that it just came against the Cardinals. The thing is this, the Packers are in a really unique situation, which they've watched their next opponent, they've watched the Niners twice since they last played, which just doesn't happen ever in this league. I mean, it's extremely rare. And in those two games, there's been some weaknesses, some flaws maybe, that have been exposed on film. The question now is whether the Packers can take advantage of that, but you have a close win against a team in the Cardinals that is not very good, and then you have a loss, obviously, to the Seahawks. There's some deficiencies that have been exposed that the Packers have been able to watch and see, and we'll see what they do about it.
Talking with Ryan Wood, our Green and Gold football insider here on The Fan. Now, Ryan, I got to go back to something I heard you say in that answer. So did you say that you spent your bye week? It was Philly and New England, good game of the week. Does that mean that you were not going belly up with Red Zone on your bye week, Ryan?
I was hardly watching football. It was on. I wasn't watching much.
See, now
football.
That's understandable. Well, that's understandable than choosing to have one game on instead of seven, right?
Yeah, I had Philly, New England on as kind of background.
Sure.
It was not something that I was that intently watching.
Good. That's what you need. You need a whole week to just decompress and sit back and get ready for the stretch run here that the Green Bay Packers are going to be on. This guy writes for the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com right here on the Wendy's Big Show, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays at 4:35. Offensive side of the football, Ryan, we've seen a lot of different game plans that the Packers have come out with here. Out of the bye, what would be some expectations for you offensively that we'll see out of Matt LaFleur making some adjustments after, you know, the self-scouting period is now over?
Well, I wonder how they're going to clean up the pre-snap operation. It is a challenge because this is an offense predicated on the arsenal and the variety of personnel groupings that it throws a defense throughout the course of a game. It is pretty rare that you see this offense in the same personnel grouping for an extended period of time against the same opponent. And so that presents the challenge, obviously, of guys pretty regularly coming in off the sideline, which means that there's a lot of stuff going on in the pre-snap, not just the basic communication part of it. So how they figure that out is going to be significant to see. This is a team that leads the league in delay of game penalties. They had 9 in 10 games. That's not good. I think, though, the bigger thing might be getting back to the run game and really, you know, they've navigated this two back thing pretty well through 10 games. Aaron Jones is as fresh as you could hope he could be. He's played every game. Jamal Williams has been a big part of that. But now that they are here to this point where it's late November and both of those guys are fresh, they're in the league's bottom half in rushing attempts and rushing yardage. They have not been a run-heavy team. I wonder if the final six games are going to be a lot about running the football, because this offense seems to be at its best when it is pounding the rock. And those two guys in the backfield, especially the way they complement off of each other, that sure seems to be the best form of this offense. And being that this is the stretch run now, I'll be curious to see how much more they commit to the run.
What about the health of this team? I know I heard him say something about MVS may have been injured. We talked a little bit about Bulaga's finger. Is there something else that health-wise that we don't know about, or are guys maybe getting healthier than when they were before they left?
I mean, you know how it works. There's always guys banged up that we don't know about. But
correct.
As far as health, injury, everyone's out there today. This is the healthiest this team has been since 2014. And I'll never forget that the week that they went out to Seattle for that conference championship game. standing inside the Don Hutson Center, going through my attendance on the roster, checking everyone off, and just thinking to myself, here it is, late January, and they've got everybody on the 53-man roster at their disposal. This does not happen. And this season has been a lot like that. In fact, you could even make the argument that this season they've been more healthy, because in 2014 they obviously lost B.J. Raji for the season with a biceps injury in the preseason. Mm-hmm. They have no season-ending injuries here. The worst injury they had was Devontae Adams' turf toe, which cost them four games. He's back now. This is a team that has everybody available, and being that this is, what, week 12? That does not happen very often, not just for the Packers, and Packers fans are probably nodding their head. I mean, you guys know what the injury history of this team is. Around the league, this does not happen. And so that's when special seasons can happen, is when you have everybody who are, you know, there's a lot of luck that goes that's involved in that, and you have everyone available this late in the season, you're playing at an advantage, because there's not a lot of teams that can say that.
What did you make of the Kaepernick circus that happened over the weekend, Ryan?
Honestly, not much. I mean, it's just a fiasco. And I think that I honestly didn't make much of it. I mean, I've been focused more on the Packers. The Packers reportedly, according to Adam Schefter, did not send anyone down to view the workout. The NFL, I'm sure, would have liked more teams to show up to say that more teams did. But the reality is that the calendar, the schedule, the logistics, it just, none of it was convenient for teams across the league, the Packers included. And I think the guy can probably play. It's not been much of an issue about that. It's just a matter of a team kind of not just giving him an opportunity, but accepting the circus that comes to town, because it will be an absolute circus that comes to town wherever he goes. It just takes one team to kind of sign up for that, and it so far hasn't happened.
Talking with Ryan Wood a couple of more minutes here on the Wendy's Big Show. Writes for PackersNews.com, the Green Bay Press Gazette. Offensive side of the football, Ryan, and trying to keep the numbers at bay of where they've been. Turning over the ball has never been an issue for Aaron Rodgers, and touchdown-wise, you saw Tom Brady yesterday be very frustrated after the game without throwing a touchdown pass. You've seen it now twice, the Packers here in 2019 be able to win games without Aaron Rodgers throwing a touchdown pass. If there's one guy that could be unleashed here offensively, who do you think that could be out of the bye?
I think they need to get Marquez Valdes-Scantling going. He's a guy that has a lot of talent, and he's shown it at times this year. He's shown a lot of big play production, not just potential, but actually going out there and making big plays. It's just the consistency in terms of production and getting it to be even, and not just a big play here, big play there, but down in and down out being a threat. That's where they've got to get to with him. And Matt LaFleur talked about how before the bye, he wanted to get MVS more involved offensively. And I think that that's a kind of a wild card. If they're able to do that, then you know what they have in Devontae Adams. You know what this backfield is with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. That would go a long way to bolstering this offense if they're able to get him involved.
Ryan, appreciate it, man. We'll talk Wednesday as we start getting ready for really the biggest game in the NFL this year, Sunday Night Football in San Fran.
It really is. I mean, that's not an overstatement to say. Everything's on the table here for this late in the season. It'll be fascinating, a lot to talk about this week. We'll talk to you guys later.
Appreciate it, man. That's Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. You can also find Ryan's stuff along with PackersNews.com at Buy Ryan Wood on Twitter. Hey, everybody, Christmas has come early this year to the city of Milwaukee. That's right, the Beaufort and Christmas Lager is now in stores for a limited time, and you're going to have to act fast if you want to get some of this extremely limited supply, because it's selling so quickly that near half of the supply is already gone. So, guys, you've heard me talk about all-natural Beauforting all year long, so you already know that it's made with the freshest spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. But when I say the Christmas Lager from Beauforting is the beer you're going to need for all your holiday gatherings, I'm not lying to you. Unlike other Christmas beers, it's not super heavy, so you're not going to need a long winter's nap afterwards. Just like the entire Beauforting lineup, it's crisp, it's drinkable, and it's made with the kind of unmatched quality that only a family-owned brewery can provide. I'm going to be hanging out with the owner of Bofording, George Lentz, tomorrow, and you can find the Bofording Christmas Lager that we'll be drinking plenty of. Well, not plenty, because there's almost half of the supply is already gone, but you can find the Christmas Lager right now today at Consumer Beverage, Discount Liquor, also Sendix Fine Foods, Total Wine and More in Brookfield and in Greenfield, also at Woodman's, one of my favorite locations. If you want, you can also taste it for yourself, along with the entire Bofording lineup, at a free beer Saturday this week at Total Wine and More in Brookfield from noon until 3. Once again, that's Saturday this weekend in Brookfield at Total Wine and More for a free beer Saturday. Extremely limited supply of this incredible Christmas lager is only available until it's out. So drink in the Bov and go pick some up today. This holiday season, go all natural with Beaufort and Christmas Lager. 414-799-1250. Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane is next. But first, we hear from Mike Clemens. It's the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.